Turning your Bibles with me to Exodus 28. We've looked at enjoying our journey with God by not allowing the troubles and trials of life to defeat us and discourage us and depress us that would make us ineffective for Christ. That's what happened to Israel in the wilderness. They got discouraged, they got depressed, they got defeated, and they were on a journey with God, and God fed them. The Bible says when they went into Canaan, their shoes had not worn out and their clothes had not faded, and yet we find them murmuring and complaining a lot. We don't want to fall into that trap. We want to enjoy our journey with God. Satan can't steal our souls. He can't defeat the power of God at work in us. But he can try to corrupt us or discourage us so that we're ineffective in the spread of the gospel and living the Christian life. In Exodus 28, verse 1, the Bible says, "And take thou unto thee Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. Thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, for glory and for beauty." Now the high priest had to be, first of all, Aaron, and then after Aaron came his sons. The eldest son and you see that? It's okay to say yeah. No, yes, no, whatever. And this was the high priest's garments that he was to wear, and his oldest son would follow him on the death of the high priest. The high priest served until death, and then his eldest son would take his place. Now, we continued in the study of Exodus on into Leviticus, and we saw the tabernacle and the offerings and the sacrifices. And now we back up a little bit to study the men who God chose to administer all those sacrifices. The Old Testament, they had the tribe of Levi supplied all of the priests, and the sons of Aaron were the high priest in their order. But in the New Testament, the Bible teaches that believers are a priesthood of believers. So we look at some of the similarities between our ministry in serving God and the priest's ministry with all of the offerings and the sacrifice. Christ is our great high priest. He is eternal. He does not have to be replaced as Aaron had to be because he was a human who died. But Christ is eternal, and therefore his priesthood continueth forever. Turn over with me in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7. The New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 7. Now, Jesus is a high priest after a different order than the Levitical priesthood. Levitical priesthood required a registry of who your mother and your father were, but the priesthood that Christ was given, he was ordained by God a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And in chapter 7 of Hebrews, verse 1, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First being by interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually." Look at verse 17 in chapter 7, verse 17. "For he testifieth," God speaking of Christ, "thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." And then down in verse number 24, "This man, he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood." So the Levitical priest died and another priest had to take their place. But Christ lives forever, so his priesthood is unchanging. Just as God is immutable, meaning he's not subject to change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And His priesthood continues forever. He's forever in the heavens making intercession on our behalf because we keep Him busy all the time with all the sins and our prayers and all the things that are taking place in the life of believers. Now, His priesthood was not based on who His mother or His father or His ancestry was, as the Levitical priesthood was. If you go over in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah and see when they went back to rebuild the temple, and they had to restore the priesthood. The first thing had to happen, they had to find a registry. They had to prove the priest. Then they had to go through the cleansing and the consecration before they could set up the offerings and the sacrifices when they rebuilt the temple. It required all those things. Now, if you would go back in your Bibles to the book of Exodus with me again, in chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. Now, this thing over here is running. It won't cut off like the other one. It may burn that overlay right there if we keep it long enough, but it won't cut off, okay? Exodus 19 and verse number 4. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. Now, if you want to go, or I'll read for you in 1 Peter chapter 2 in the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. The Bible says, "Ye also are a lively stones, built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Verse 9, he says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." So believers have become a kingdom of priests, a royal priesthood. They are fulfilling the role. We're not offering animal sacrifices any longer. We're offering up spiritual sacrifices unto God, which we'll see in just a moment. We are the New Testament priesthood of believers. As just as every true believer is a saint of God, a sanctified one, a holy one in the eyes of God, we are a part of a holy nation, and we are God's people. We've been cleansed and sanctified and set apart by God for His service. We're a part of a royal priesthood. The sons of God who serve under our great high priest Jesus Christ, who ever lives to make intercession within the veil at the right hand of God the Father. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says Christ is the prince, and that means ruler of the kings of the earth. And when He returns to this earth in the future, He'll be called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Bible says He has loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. He has made us kings and priests unto God. So in the future, we'll serve in that respect in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, the priests were cleansed in a ceremonial way to remove all uncleanness. And Christ has cleansed us with His own blood and given unto us the righteousness of God. So we've been made holy and acceptable unto God and cleansed of all of our sins. You say, "But preacher, I still have a struggle sometimes with sin." 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness." So He's made that way for continual cleansing so that we can be ceremonially pure to serve as the priesthood of believers for God. Priests were clothed. They were not only cleansed, they were clothed. They had the Old Testament garment for the high priest looked like this. And you and I are to put off the old man and put on the new man, which is after righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And so we are serving as a priesthood of believers. We have the garment of righteousness that has been given unto us, part of the armor of God that we put on for the battle that we fight is the breastplate of righteousness that helps us in our vulnerable parts. Revelation 19:8, the Bible says, "In heaven there is the robe of fine linen, which is the righteousness of the saints." So we've been cleansed of our sin, and like the high priest, we've been clothed in holy garments. Then there was the consecration, the dedication that took place where the high priest was consecrated and dedicated for service. It meant that he had to go through a completion. And the Bible says that we're perfect in Christ, and that word doesn't mean that we're sinless, it means that we're complete. And God has matured us and completed us so that we can serve Him. The more mature we are as believers, the greater we can serve in an effective manner. Romans chapter 12 says that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we consecrate ourselves in service to God. Next, the priest was also called to service. We saw that back in Exodus 28 and verse number 1. The tabernacle in the wilderness and then the temple, the priests were called. And he would have to sit idle in his service until his registry was guaranteed, till it was shown that he was of the tribe of Levi, till it was shown that he was a descendant of Aaron. He could not serve until these things were proven. The priest took the sacrifices and the offerings from the people, and they dedicated them and presented them unto God. The prophet heard the voice of God and gave the message to the people. The priest took the offerings from the people and presented them unto God on their behalf. Both of them were a mediator or a go-between. The New Testament says there's only one mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus Christ. It is not religion, it's not a priest, it is Christ, and Christ alone is our great high priest. So our priesthood is to offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God. The spiritual sacrifices we offer are, first of all, the praise of our lips. We sang songs tonight and we offered praise to God. We shared testimony of praise to God about missions. And so we're offering God the praise of our lips. We offer God prayers of intercession. We call on people to pray for the sick and those in need. And we make intercessory prayer on behalf of others, including the unsaved who do not know the Lord. There is the praise of our lips, the prayers of intercession, and the fruit of reproduction. We offer to God the offering of people who believe in Him as a fruit of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a part of our function. JT stood up here this morning and told you he prayed the sinner's prayer on Wednesday night and asked God to save him, and he wanted to submit for baptism and church membership here in the church. And we all rejoice in decisions like that being made. We wish they were being made every day. We wish they were being made every week publicly here in the church. And that's a part of our work as a priesthood of believers. All of us should be involved in that reproducing and helping people to come to Christ. It was not all up to me to lead JT to Christ. Billy's the one who got him to church. Billy's the one who's encouraged him to come back to church and to get him here and talk to him about his life and told him God could help him and this church could help him. And so JT came, and that's why he's gotten saved. The fruit of reproduction. Our bodies are a living sacrifice. Paul said his body was like the drink offering. It was time for him to be poured out in service to God. 2 Timothy 4:6, "For I am now ready, the time to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith." There are five different Greek verbs and three nouns that are translated offer or offering in the New Testament. One of those is a particular word that was used here in 2 Timothy 4:6 that's translated offered. Paul was ready to be offered, and it is the Greek word spendo, which is to pour out. His life was complete. He was ready to be poured out for God as an offering and a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing unto God as a sweet-smelling savor in the same way the Old Testament offerings were done. Our gifts and our tithes and offerings and gifts that we give to God are given as a part of our service to God and are a part of our sacrifice unto Him as our offerings. Number four, we come to the character of the priest. They were men who were set aside for service to God. The Bible says in Hebrews 5, verse 1 through 3, that Aaron was a man just like us. Therefore, he could have compassion on the sinner, and he could understand his weaknesses and his sins and his frailties because he was human. Christ took on flesh. He was tempted in every point like we are, yet without sin. But he understands our sufferings, understands those because he was tempted in all points. And he bore flesh where he could suffer hunger and pain and thirst and all the things that we go through in life. Now you and I serve as priests to God on behalf of others. We understand where they are. We understand lost men's condition. We understand when people don't understand the gospel. Because there was a time when we were there. But God has saved us and enlightened us. And so we reason with men from the Scriptures to help them come to God and be saved, having compassion on them and their needs. Then we come to the final thing, the clothing of the priest. And you see this overlay. We see the vestment here underneath the precious stones is the ephod. And the ephod was a vestment. He has a girdle which serves as a belt. The shoulder stones had six tribes of the 12 tribes on each one on those stones on his shoulders. He had the breastplate of judgment with the 12 stones of precious stones in the breastplate. And inside the ephod was the Urim and Thummim. And this represented the light and perfections, had to do with discerning the will of God. You'll remember that David sent for the ephod to discern the will of God. He had a robe of righteousness. It was a royal robe that was made for him at the pomegranates and the bells on the bottom, and a very beautiful and very elaborate thing. And the mitre on his head was his headdress, and on it was a plate that read, "Holiness to the Lord." He wore pants and undergarments for modesty so that when he went to the place to make the sacrifice on the altar, that his legs would not reveal anything as a holiness unto God. Now these priests, just like us as a priesthood of believers today, number one, there was preparation. They had to be ready. They had to get prepared. They had to go through cleansing. And then there was consecration, where they dedicated themselves in service unto God. There was cleansing that they had to go through, just like we must be saved in order to serve God acceptably. And then there was service. Now, I could have left that word out, couldn't I? That's where the actual work is involved. Boy, these priests on the Day of Atonement and on the great sacrificial days, they were just tons of sacrifices that were made. If you've never killed and flayed animals, there's a whole lot of work involved in that. It is nasty work. And you know, when we work with sinners, it's nasty work. People are stained by sin, and it can be a horrible thing. I remember getting a man out of the bed that had been drunk, laid up in the bed for 2 or 3 days. He had the heat on in his house. It was about 85 degrees in there. I don't even know how he survived those 2 or 3 days without eating or drinking or anything. He laid up drunk. We woke him up, got him up out of the bed, washed his body. I shaved his face, and we brought him to church and gave him the gospel. We took him, got him something to eat, and the man prayed and asked the Lord to save him. And you know, he didn't go back to the liquor store for a week or two, so the guy at the liquor store called him up and said, We've missed you. You need to come by. Ain't it payday yet? You know, I'm going to let you have a little something on credit if you don't have any money. That's how the devil works, my friend. He didn't have a thing for that man but to throw him out of his place because he didn't have any money. But now when he's not there spending his check, he wants to try to destroy his life. And that's what Satan is trying to do. It was nasty. That house stank. There was a smell of urine and everything that goes along with it, and a nasty bed and a nasty man. But you know what? My sins were worse than that before God, and God saved me and cleansed me, and He's done the same for us all. And we are now a holy nation and a royal priesthood unto God. Let us serve like we are the priests of God, cleansed, clothed, consecrated unto God for His service.